Oasis Audio presents The Realms Thereunder by Ross Lawhead. Read for you by Gary DeChaos.
But whatso hap at the end of the world, where nothing is struck in stones, it is not by Thor these monkish men, these humbled Wessex hones, not this pale line of Christian hinds, this one white string of men, shall keep us back from the end of the world and the things that happened then. It is not Alfred's dwarfish sword, nor Egbert's pygmy crone, shall stay us now that descend in thunder, rending the realms and the realms thereunder, down through the world and down. The Ballad of the White Horse, 6. The Slaying of the Chiefs, G.K. Chesterton. Prologue. 1. The Swindlestock Tavern, 20th April, 1524.
"And I say you're a fool, Addison Fletcher,"
the brawny man declared, striking his ale mug against the bare wooden table for emphasis.
"God smite me where I sit if I tell a lie, Cole Dawson,"
Addison protested, his eyes flicking heavenward for the briefest of moments.
"Ah, but did you not say,"
declared Call, cocking an eyebrow and pointing a finger,
"did you not say that you got this account from another?"
"From Rob Fuller,"
piped a voice from the end of the table.
"Aye, from Rob Fuller. And it who's to say that a tale told by Rob Fuller is true or false? Swearing oaths upon second-hand tales is not wise." "Then tell me, is it wisdom or foolishness to trust honorable men? I've known Rob this last 20 years, and judge him to be a straight and honest man."
"Even so,"
continued Call expansively,
"an honest man may—"
"Enough,"
came a shout from the table next to theirs.
"You bicker like a pair of divinity scholars. I would hear the rest of the tale and judge for myself."
"Aye, the tale,"
came another shout from behind Addison, and the chorus was picked up by all of those in the tavern who were in earshot of the two men.
"All right, all right,"
Addison banged his ale mug on the table. When a reasonable silence fell on the room, he drew breath to speak.
"Where had I gotten to?"
"The blacksmith was working late on a moonless night when a man walked in,"
a helpful listener prompted.
"Aye, aye, just so. And full old he was, with a beard white as a cloud, down to his waist, and a red—"
"You described him already,"
came a cry from another table.
"And a red robe," Addison Fletcher shouted. "A red robe that was bordered with all manner of delicate and intricate designs. All right?"
There was chuckling among the crowd.
"Anyhow,"
Addison continued quieter, "this old gent comes up to the blacksmith, Sam, the blacksmith's name is, and bids him good evening. Sam bids him likewise and asks what service he can give the old man. The old man, without saying a word, hands him a bar of gold this big." Addison held his hands apart.
"What's this?" asks Sam.
"I need you to make a shoe from this strip of gold that would fit a war horse," says the stranger, and gives him the size, which is large enough for a destrier. The blacksmith sets to work, and it being no especially hard task to shape gold, he soon has the shoe made. He hands it over to the old man along with the parts of the gold bar that he hasn't used. He does this thinking that he'll get some of the gold in return and more of it if he's honest. For in working with the stuff, he's judged it to be proof pure. But the gent merely puts the gold scraps in a pouch he carries on his belt and asks the smith to pick up his shoeing tools and follow him."
"Where are we going?"
asks Sam, and the old man answers that the job isn't finished until the horse itself is shod. With assurance that he'll be compensated for his time, Sam
Sample complete. Ready to continue?